This is CliffCentral.com.
All right. Hello. Good morning to the Gareth Cliff Show here on CliffCentral.com. It is the 14th of December, or is it the 13th of December for CS Sangweni?
What do you mean?
Well, it looks like you're still very much in last night. What's going on?
I don't know what you mean by that. Okay, I'm a consummate professional.
So I arrived. Gareth's not with us today, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah. He's out in a boot.
He's out in a boot. That's all you need to know. Sia was, as I walked in this morning, music was pumping in the studio, and Sia was kind of in the control room, just mind his own business, so carry on. And then Leanne says to him, where's your car? He's like, well, yeah, where's my car? Where's my laptop? have you gone home since yesterday?
Okay, car, the obvious and reasonable choice is to Uber everywhere. And then laptop, just decided yesterday afternoon, no, I was
what,
trying
what
to...
What happened to your car? Just...
No, well, I was went.
Vexed by an ex-lover?
No.
Was stolen?
No,
to break down?
Not that horrible and tacky. Yesterday, I went out, and I'll tell you about that in a bit. But I was trying to do some work yesterday
afternoon.
Bag of
tricks you are, Sia Sangweni. Trying to do some work, yeah?
I was trying to do some work yesterday afternoon. My laptop just spazzed out of me. But I thought, okay, well, we aren't dealing with that. And that was good and fine. But here's the thing. This was my summarization of yesterday afternoon. I love the fact that we are... No, you two are now basically in the realm of real work and responsible work. And
you mean we're old as fuck, basically? No.
Successful is what he's going for, Leanne.
Oh.
Yes.
I'll have
successful,
you know.
Successful, admirable, and. A lot of my friends, understandably so, in the entertainment and broadcast industry are a lot of freelancers. So over the past couple of days and weeks, I've been chatting to my friends going, you know, in a lot of corporate culture, this time of the year brings about... end-of-year parties, and they have all of these award shows or end-of-year celebrations. And I go, for freelancers, what do you exactly get to do? So more than that, I've been asking a lot of my friends who work 9-to-5s, saying, like, what does your company do? And I've been a leech with a lot of these things, saying, well, since we don't necessarily close off on a specific time, or we aren't conventional in what we do and how we do things, I said, like, well, whenever you have end of year parties, call me, let's see what happens, and. So one of my friends called me yesterday afternoon. They said that they're having this big end of year thing, and that's where I basically went. I was a good friend, but also a good friend who was supportive to the bar. And it's an open bar. And I was like, I check a lot of things off the list. I say, who's your HR manager? You want to impress them.
So you work hard when you're gate crashing?
Well, on many levels. So I go, who's your HR manager? Let me go and wave to them. Who's your superior?
Sorry,
I'll go
but
and speak to
the
them.
Story needs your puzzle face to really come to life.
Yeah. I don't think it's a puzzle face, Ben. I looked at myself. It is so odd. I looked at myself this morning in the mirror and I went, what is going on with you? Like, can you
look like someone forgot to animate you properly.
Oh, no!
if this was an episode of The Simpsons, you would still be a few brushstrokes shy of completion.
Oh, no! Well, to the people I was with last night, then that's a great, great achievement on their half, because it says then... It was a good party. It was a very, very good party. We were in Bryanston, and was an end-of-year celebration.
Very nice.
Mm.
Well, Ben, how perky are you this morning?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. I've been trying this whole new sleep thing, where I wear these red glasses.
Yes.
You have to explain
they
this.
They kind of cancel out the eye noise of,
yeah,
you know, your phone and laptops and TVs and
are
things.
Are these the glasses you received a couple of days ago?
Yeah, exactly. So I put together a little video around this, which I'll share with you soon.
Okay.
If I ever get through all the videos I need to make by next week, it'll be an absolute miracle. But it's a lot of things you think, like, is this a gimmick, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
So you try it, instantly you get, like, this relaxing feeling.
Ooh, did you hear harps?
I just felt so much better, like, so much better. Because at the moment, I wouldn't say I'm stressed, just like I've got lots of work to do, and there's obviously a small amount of time to do it, so I need to get it all done so that come holidays, I have nothing. And you put these red glasses on, and it's like going to this like dimension of relaxation.
Okay,
like
you're in a spa.
The harshness of life gets taken away because everything is just too sharp. We are bombarded with way too much light, way too much stimulus. Red glasses, you're like, okay, cool. this is how I kind of maybe wanted marijuana to be in my life, although it did bite me. So I don't have to ever go smoke weed anymore. I've got red glasses. Okay, I look like someone out of Mortal Kombat when I wear them, but hey, I'm long past the stage of caring too much about how I look. So you put these on for like 2 hours prior to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
So do you do normal things while you're wearing them? Obviously no screens.
No, you can still watch TV.
Okay.
I watched an episode of something last night. You can still read a book in decent light. Look, you try to do less before you go to bed anyway. That's a general rule. So you can still go brush your teeth. I wouldn't suggest going down dark staircases with cats running around you.
Oh, no.
Is this from experience?
I wouldn't suggest operating any sort of heavy machinery. I mean, you can make a cup of tea. You bought a kettle, all right.
Yeah.
So you have it on, and you get into this habit of winding down. And we're in the stage of the year where we're all winding down. And then when it comes sleep time, it's like you've got this running start to, like, perfect sleep. Out within...
Oh, it sounds so good.
Lights out, pop the glasses off, you're now like, oh. I mean, just talking about it makes you feel relaxed.
Mm.
So they work very effectively.
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
It also helps with, like, jet lag and these kind of things, but... I've had it for a few days. I haven't really given too much thought to it. I've just been trying to sleep better. Like, I haven't been thinking about the science or the theory or anything. I've just put them on and I've gone about stuff. And just straight away, sleep.
Really?
Yeah, I'll share it with you on my social media sometime today.
What are they called?
I'll give
They're called Ben's Red Glasses. Yes.
I will give you all the details on my social media.
Because they do...
Like Gareth's away now. It sounds like I'm plugging brands when he's not here.
No. Well, there are...
He's going to be upset with me.
Many people and tons of articles, if you want medical backing behind it, who speak about how bad your phone is when you're about to sleep.
It is.
How bad television is when you're about to sleep, or your laptop as well. I've just found... I know a lot of people who've just adjusted to being, you know. Sometimes you think, well, I have 20 minutes before I want to sleep and let me squeeze in a few last emails. Even though you may, like, diminish your brightness on your laptop screen, for example, it still doesn't take away the harsh
light. Yeah, it's still the same. I mean,
of what the light does to you.
You think about when you answer or you hear an SMS pinging off in the early hours and you try and look at your phone. It's like looking into the abyss of brightness.
It really is.
And it actually hurts your eyes.
Yeah.
It's like opening up a fridge in the middle of the night. And it obviously has an effect before you go to sleep.
Well, when you wear these red glasses and then you pull them up, and it's like, oh my gosh, is this actually what life is? Is this how intense life is for all this light? We should actually do a show on red glasses.
Life's so bright you have to wear shades.
Your future, Ben, is so bright, you need to wear glasses. Well, yeah, okay. If it's working for you, then that's great then. And have you found that, like, your sleeping has improved over the past couple of days? Are you sleeping fuller hours, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, I guess so. There, I'm just putting it on Instagram right now. You see exactly what I'm talking about. Go to The Bounce on Instagram. There's the post. There's the glasses on my face. This is my dream for 2019. Okay, we all have a dream.
Martin Luther King Jr.
My genuine dream is 8 hours of sleep. And it's like, well, you're an adult, you don't need that much sleep. Screw it. I want to have 8 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
And I'm committing to it. I'm putting it on record right now. If you can't get enough done in the day that you've got to have 5 hours of sleep, then you're not working smart enough. Simple as that.
You're working hard, but not smart.
See, because we're all getting these really piss-poor habits where it's just like, well, I'm just going to keep working. I'm just going to work harder. Bullshit. 8 hours, done. 1 hour exercise, done. There's 9 hours. You've got 15 more hours?
17.
Just...
No, 15.
let's go with my day and everyone else's day.
Yeah, 15.
Then in 15 hours, right, you could do all the other crap like work and commute and do other things. So just realize the 9 hours of a day, every single day, is sleep and exercise. 8 and 1.
I'm now very open-minded to all of this.
If you don't... While asking about New Year's resolutions, I just gave it to you.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
That's your new priority.
A
couple of months ago, I saw these glasses on sale. And at first I thought, wow, this is when we failed as human beings. But now as you explain this, I go, maybe it is a good idea. So these glasses are designed for anyone who is on their phone or uses a laptop or watches TV while they're in bed. So if you think about lying in bed and you're lying on your back, these glasses you pop onto your face, and they have this almost like a kaleidoscope. When you look into a kaleidoscope, they're all of these angles essentially that allow you to have this optical illusion.
That
right?
sounds like mushrooms.
Well, with these glasses, they have two or three different screens that allow you to see what is horizontally in front of you. So if you're lying on your back, you're able to see directly what is horizontally in front of you. So for a lot of people, your television screen will be horizontally in front of you, and you're able to still lie on your back, pop these glasses on, and with the angle that it gets, you're able to see your computer without having to strain your eyes or without having to lean in an awkward position. And now I think, actually, well, isn't that a great idea?
Yeah. It's amazing what people can do, or the professionals can do with eyesight. I just look at my mom, who had a stroke and her vision was affected. She had double vision. We teased her about it and said, how many children do you have now? And we'd stand in front of her. Going to the optometrist, the one lens, they put in a lens which had vertical stripes in it. They're called pyramid glasses.
Yeah.
So it's like a self pattern in the glass.
Okay.
And in the right side, horizontal lines. So they kind of look like the cool, who was it that wore those sunglasses with the stripes?
Was it a rock star?
Kanye West.
Kanye West. It's like the louvers. It's like that, except one is horizontal and one's vertical. And that helps to square off the image and make her see one dot as one and not two.
Oh.
There are amazing things that can be done with your eyesight. We just don't think that broadly.
Well, up until a few weeks ago, actually, I was going to bring the story up for Said by Sia, but there was a lot more.
Said by who?
Said by me, Ben, every single weekday morning. It happens at around 6:45. Anyway, there was this guy who also created glasses in the States, who says he sees so much negativity that happens on like news networks when he is mostly out and about. So when he's walking around the city, when he's at the bank and he has no option but to stand in line, and you know, the banks will screen certain things when he's in doctor's waiting rooms and you don't have an option on what plays. He actually decided on creating these glasses that drown out the light that comes from our television screens and the likes, because he says he doesn't want to see such negativity on like news networks, etc. So he created these glasses that like diminish the light that comes from the TV. So actually, optical illusions and the power of what we give to our eyes.
He battles with self-control a bit.
Sounds like he's got a lot of time in his hands.
Never you mind then.
Good thing though. Always push the limits. Did you guys talk about Google's top search things 2018 this week?
No, we didn't.
No, I wanted to.
So Google, obviously every year, they are the world. If you want to know anything about the world, you go to Google.
Okay.
Top searches for the entire year. Let's start at number 10.
Uh-oh.
Kate Spade. Anybody?
I have no idea.
Anybody? Kate Spade?
Is Kate Spade? No. Remind us who that is.
No idea. I've got no idea. Number 9, Stephen Hawking.
Yes. Fair enough. Understandable.
Okay. Number 8, Triple X Tentacion.
Oh, that's the rapper who died recently.
7, Anthony Bourdain. 6, Meghan Markle. 5, Black Panther. 4, Stan Lee. 3, Mac Miller. 2, Avicii. And number 1, World Cup. So basically, unless you're a World Cup football event, you've got to die to be the most searched thing on Meghan Markle.
Exactly.
But the relationship with her family died, so I mean, it's kind of in the same ballpark.
The trends in South Africa for Google search were pretty much along the same lines.
Mm-hmm.
So in 10th place is Mac Miller.
Okay, so Mac Miller's my favorite rapper. I made this quite clear when he did pass away. Well, he took his own life, however you want to phrase it.
September the 7th.
Yeah, so.
9th place, Meghan Markle. 8th place, Black Panther. 7th place, Listeriosis.
Yeah.
Oh.
Third world problems.
No, guys, that almost killed us this year.
Yeah. 6th place.
That's how long the year is. We've forgotten this. Yes.
Double HP. 5th place, Winnie Mandela. 4th, Zuma. 3rd, Global Citizen.
Yeah.
2nd, Load Shedding.
Mm.
And 1st, World Cup Fixtures.
Well, according to Business Insider South Africa, this is the top 10 trends, Leanne, from Google in South Africa this year. Number 10 was how old is Meghan Markle? So, you know, like when you're on Google, you don't just generally type in, you want to get some information out of it. So this is to take it further to Leanne's point. People were asking, how old is Meghan Markle? I'll tell you how old she is. She's old. She's 37, same age as me.
No wonder why she got pregnant basically at the wedding.
I had to.
Ben, that isn't old.
Number 9, what happened to Double HP? Sadly, he did take his life as well. What time is the royal wedding? Useful information, huh?
Okay.
That was number 8. Number 7 was interesting for me. How to get pregnant. I didn't think that was a problem in this country.
Jeez. Well, fertility is down a little.
Well, let's talk about the birds and the bees.
Okay, so this isn't just a basic sort of phrase. That's the answer. It's more about fertility. Okay, fair enough. Number 6 was, how much are global citizen tickets?
Okay, yes.
Too much.
too much for you.
The cost of that event for people going to it is just too much. Number 5, how old is Prince Harry? Anybody? Anybody?
He's
34.
Well done, sir.
Yeah, 3 years younger than me.
What is black data? So, Celsius got a good search there because everyone's wondering what black data is. It's the Celsius content. Number 3, what is listeriosis?
Okay.
Number 2, how old is Pharrell Williams? Anybody?
He is in his 40s, like 43, 44.
45.
Never you mind. Okay.
He's 45 and he's still dressed like a child. And then number 1, the number 1 Googled trend phrase question from South Africans on Google is, how did Avicii die?
That was number 1 over all the rest?
I don't know. Listeriosis.
Out of load shedding.
Where we could have died.
How did Avicii die? Out of all the different things, how did Avicii die was pretty much the top most searched questions by South Africans on Google in 2018.
Oh.
How did he die?
See, you know what's...
People gravitate towards this kind of stuff.
You know what's more scary for me is how some people don't actually know how to Google things.
Okay, so this might be a bugbear of yours, but I also get it. How you Google and what you get
and
as
also
a
the questions that people
do this with Google.
Yeah, that type of thing. Or they ask you questions where the question is takes longer to verbalize than it would to just type it into Google and get the answer. Also, people who say, I'll Google that. No, you can Google it right now while you're talking. While your tongue is moving, you can Google it on your phone.
Yeah.
And you don't have to type in this long question and into Google.
No, just type in Avicii and you'll see when he died. You don't have to type in how did he die.
Yeah, but some everybody people wants do. More specific searches.
Well, people don't
get it in the first sentence of a news story.
People don't get specific searches. Some people will type in, when does Santon get load shedding? And it's like more like Stanton load shedding. That's more concise. You'll get to the articles. You'll find out what things happen. It's just I've never thought other people relate to this, but I just find it as a random bugbear of mine.
So by the way, Kate Spade, she hung herself.
Yeah, she's the designer who did that a few months ago.
Wow. So the Google's top 10. Let's go back to that.
Don't mean to get all depressing. Never mind.
We get all depressing here, but Google's top 10 searches for the year. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 suicides in Google's top 10. Deaths amounting to 7 in total.
Very indicative of
the type of year
we've
had. World Cup, Black Panther, and Meghan Markle were the only
non-death
related things in Google's top 10 searches for 2018.
But the Duchess Meghan is killing a lot of people, let's just put it that way. Well, killing a lot of people and their careers, not physically killing. People.
The hell are you on about?
No.
What the very hell are you on about, Sia?
Okay, so as the unofficial royal correspondent on these things,
he's doing badly.
You haven't heard about what she's been doing over the past couple of weeks.
No.
Well, Meghan, let's to preface this in this way. She's 37 years old. She has lived many different lives. You know, she was previously married and she broke up previously to getting into the relationship with Prince Harry. She was in a relationship and she broke up with that person after she started dating Harry. So she was dating two people at the same time.
Oh, but lots of girls do that. Come on.
We aren't holding this against her, but I'm just bringing it into context. And when that happened, when she met Prince Harry, she wrote a letter to this person saying, yo, in a few words, she was saying, yo, met a royal, deuces, I'm done with you.
I'm trading up, bitches.
Yeah. And she sent him a letter and a promise ring that he had sent at the time and sent it in the mail. So, yeah, we know this about her and we forgot it to a certain extent as she was getting into the palace and we thought she was delightful and all that is. But now, over the past couple of weeks, a lot of the royal staffers, people who've been there for 10, 15 and 20 years, have left the palace and working with the royals. And they all cite the Duchess Meghan, saying that they can't really work with her, they can't deal with her.
Yeah, I saw a magazine cover yesterday saying Meghan and Kate at war.
Yeah. Well, those rumors all started swirling from Meghan's decision and she influencing and telling Harry that they need to move out of the palace that they share
all
with
together.
Will and Kate.
Yeah, but I mean, that is a bit weird. I don't care how much money you got.
Doesn't matter how big the space is. When you're adults living together, just...
And you're living with your...
You've been on holiday with adults before. You're all fighting and bickering towards the end.
I'm an equal lover and a hater at the same time. As much as I will side with you on that, but at the same time, when you're living in a palace, you're able to be on the east wing and say you are avoiding people in the west wing and you're able to cohabit and coexist without bumping into each other. But when the first story came out that was Meghan and Harry are moving out and then all of these staffers starting to leave after 20 years, you've been working with the royals and you've been loving it for 20 years, what exactly happened for you to leave? So suddenly, over the past few weeks, I think that's very suspicious. And the Duchess herself has been looking for personal assistance over the past, I think, like 3 weeks. And in the 3 weeks, she's gone through two different candidates who've said, no, thank you, can't do this, and I'm moving on. Mm. I think that's very telling of what sort of person she is. So
probably also because she's not traditional. And the people who would apply for these sorts of jobs are used to a certain way of working.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a refreshing point of view. I was just thinking, well, now she's showing her true colors.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. So yesterday I got the call which parents or siblings dread.
Oh, no.
I'm okay, but I've been in an accident.
Oh, no.
It was my brother. And the story that unfolded from there, I was at the dentist at the time, taking my aunt to the dentist. I keep on saying the vet by mistake.
So your dad was already kind of traumatic.
Yeah, she was having a tooth pulled out, and you know they use those, like you see on torture segments of movies,
yes.
They actually use those big pliers to pull out teeth. So I was watching this happen and then received this call. And all the events kind of unfolded in bits and pieces because, you know, the calls were interrupted by insurance company calls and all sorts of things, cops arriving. But my brother was what they call T-boned by a woman he said it happened so fast. He literally saw a flash of silver, which was the color of her car, and it was already in his side. His airbags all deployed, etc., which was great news. So his car spins around and eventually comes to a stop. And
was this in like
Sandton area on his way home at about 4 o'clock yesterday? He was taking back roads, and when his car came to a stop, this woman got out of her car and curled up into a little ball and started rocking herself and crying. So he got out of his car and said, are you okay? And she was just sobbing. He couldn't get anything out of her. Next thing, a taxi stops, and a woman jumps out of this taxi and makes the taxi wait. So she stopped specifically for this purpose and says to my brother, in a panicked state, you need to phone Tara. Tara is the psychiatric hospital.
Yeah.
And he was right near Tara. You need to phone Tara immediately. That is a patient at Tara, and she's just escaped. This woman was a nurse.
Oh, wow. You can't make this up.
I know. Can you believe it?
Oh.
Yeah, is this the end?
Hey.
So this woman then, had stolen someone's car, maybe, and just...
I think it was her car. Probably parked in the parking lot. She'd been admitted and then escaped. Anyway, this woman, this nurse, eventually got back into the taxi and had to drive off. At this point, my brother's so confused. He's trying to put two and two together. He's obviously shaken from... He's covered in this powder. You know, there's this powder that happens. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a horrible smelling thing, that.
Yeah.
Also, anytime you smell it, it's an accident, so...
Knock on
wood. Yeah, it's like a... yeah. So, this woman gets back into her car. The whole front of her car is off. But she starts it and starts driving. And my brother says to her, "Where are you going? What are you doing?" And she said, "No, I've got to go to the petrol station to get my lights fixed." In the meantime, okay, front of her car's crashed, okay?
So there is no doubt about calling Tara?
No.
This has now been proven that you should, good idea.
Yeah, and she goes off. She drives off. My brother's car, on the other hand, won't even start. He can't even get off of
his... But now, at this stage, like, he has her license plate because it's clearly on the floor.
Well, he actually has more than that because gave him her name and surname. So my brother phones Tara and says, "Look, this is the situation. I know it sounds bizarre, but this has just happened." And they managed to put him through to her psychiatrist. Sorry.
Hang on a second. Yeah. Imagine phoning Tara and using the words, "I know this sounds strange."
"I know this sounds crazy." And they're like, "Yes, I've heard it all."
Just another day at the office. Did he get any info on this patient in particular?
Well, through her doctor, her psychiatrist, who was very good with the situation, said, "Look, before I speak to you about this patient, I need to know now, are you okay? Can I send an ambulance? Do you have any dizziness, pain, bruising, etc.?" And handled it quite well. But in the meantime, all details were swapped, etc. Well, not swapped in this case. I think this woman still doesn't realize that this has happened. I don't know. You know, it's just like when you say, "Oh my gosh, I was in this accident. This crazy woman bashed into my car." And it's literal in this case. Oh, my word.
Can you imagine being a petrol attendant at the petrol station with this woman rolls in there with the car like this, and she says to them, "Hi, 93 and fix the lights, please."
Oh, my word. It's just so bizarre. So my brother's car went off on a flatbed. He then went to...
Happy holidays.
Oh, and then a car drives past. No one witnessed the accident. A car comes past, and it's my brother's colleague who recognizes his car. Mm-hmm. Stops and says, "Oh my God, can I help you?" Gets him to the police station. They stand in a queue, and when they get to the front, "No, wrong jurisdiction. You've missed it by like one road. It's considered Bramley, not Sandton." Then he went to hospital to get the once over, which again, you stand and wait. And the doctor was actually quite amazed because when my brother described how the accident happened and the movement that he went through, he said, "Geez, what car do you have? Because I'm surprised that you don't have any, you know, injury." But it's all those side airbags which really help.
Yeah.
From the side to side movement. Mm. But yeah, that's his story.
Oh, shame.
So as horrible as this is, I'm now so fixated on the Tara patient. Like, how did you escape and... Now you ended up driving off. Where did you go?
Surely there should be some sort of security. I mean, I've been in a psych ward before for like a 3-week stint.
Okay.
And we were closely watched. You know, where you're going, walking around.
Mm.
We weren't allowed to leave. I wasn't allowed to leave the premises. I wanted to walk just a few meters to the garage and buy some cigarettes. I couldn't. I had to get my mum to get them. And that was just in a normal hospital.
And now you're able to leave and steal someone's car and drive. That's a lot.
Yeah, there is a lot. Speaking of which, Sia gave me a running order. Screw it, Sia. It's a lot. Everyone's last day of work. Do you want to do the five things you need to know?
Let's go with the five things that you need to know.
Do you want to do it?
Yes. Well,
do you have it?
You don't want to do it?
No, I just thought because you rocked up here with your Thursday face on and no laptop, I thought that was going to be the end of it.
Ben, I'm a consummate professional.
And who's sitting outside?
That's Sboniso.
Ah, Sboniso.
Your phone battery's running low.
See, you are a disaster. You are a disaster. How about you go talk to our guest outside? Maybe bring him in here, seeing as we're having a chilled Friday.
He's coming in after 7.
Okay.
Or would you like to bring him now?
Okay, you make the rules. You make the rules.
Okay. It's your world and we all live in it.
Look, you can't do the 5 things you need to know. We're having a lovely chat here about...
Tara patience.
Leanne, it's just your stories are just, they're always on another level. Like we all have. I mean, look, I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing. It's just that your stories always trump the normal. Like people would have had a car accident, they would have exchanged details, would have gone home. Your brother gets hit by an escapee from a mental ward.
You know, and it's a personality disorder that a lot of people have, where they try and better your story.
Yeah.
And I don't try. I just have a better one.
It's just there.
Oh, well, goodness me.
Talking about the crazy, there's rumors. Okay, wait, no. Let me get into this. Of course, it is politics-free Friday, like every Friday here on the Gareth Cliff Show, so we're going to stick to that. But this story is about Donald Trump, but it's before he became the president, so therefore it's a politics-free story.
Yes.
So, Christian Bale, you know who he is, right?
Bad-tempered actor,
also known as Bruce Wayne in Batman.
Yes.
Yeah, so, they were filming a Batman movie in Trump Tower. So, Donald Trump told Christian Bale to come to his office, where Christian Bale claims Donald Trump basically thought he was Bruce Wayne. He interacted with him like he was Bruce Wayne.
Oh, no, you're kidding.
Serious story. This is what he said. Bruce Wayne, a.k.a. Christian Bale, said that he was asked up there, and Donald Trump didn't know the fact that he was actually Christian Bale. He thought he was Bruce Wayne, the person, as in Batman. Now, I think the story's fantastic. I really do. And people are going to go, oh, Donald Trump's such a dick. No. I think it's hilarious because you think about it, in real life, Donald Trump kind of feels he's probably the Bruce Wayne without the Batman suit, right?
He does. He does think of himself that way, I reckon.
And it's pretty clear that Donald's created, like all hugely successful or just prominently socially prolific people, they have kind of created their own reality, right?
Yeah.
Can you imagine this conversation, though? Donald Trump, because he wasn't exactly going to ask, you know, Christian Bale things about Bruce Wayne, because Donald would be like, you know, you're a successful man, I'm a successful man.
Yeah.
He probably thought he was having the biggest bro down. And Christian Bale, being an actor, he said he just went on with it. He just totally played on with it. And they had this meeting at the top of Trump Tower, and this was before the election race.
That is so odd. Oh, my word.
Because as an actor, you don't really know what reality is anymore, I'm pretty sure. So
especially when you're busy filming something. You're heavily entrenched in the character.
Exactly.
Like a true method actor.
Yeah. So now, I mean, this would have been one of the funniest things to see. Like, it really would have been. Because, you know, Donald's probably telling him, you know, I'm rich, you're rich, this is how we should do things, and, you know, grabbing chicks by the pussy and all that kind of stuff. And he was probably sitting there going, uh-huh, uh-huh, yeah, okay, yeah.
He's like, oh, I can't wait to tell the story.
I think it's one of the coolest stories of the year, I really do. Because you just know that, like, this sounds so true. And there's a lot of fake news going around, but this sounds so completely and utterly plausible. But, you know...
And he's probably, Donald has probably wiped it from his memory.
Well, he probably just told everyone he met Bruce Wayne. He's going to question Donald. But, you know, we often forget about George W. Bush, right?
Mm.
Because when he was the president, he was a dumbass.
I mean, he was the butt of all jokes, the king of all memes.
Completely the
butt choker of all pretzels.
Nothing he really ever said made sense.
Holding books upside down.
He was a cheerleader who had a dad for a president.
Yeah.
Somehow that made him a president, which just goes to show how seriously we should take politicians and people like him anyway.
He coined the term nuclear.
A lot of terms, Leanne, a lot of terms. You know, I just thought we'd digging this back. I found this video this morning. George W. Bush, the best Bushisms. It's a very long video, so I won't play all of it with you. I'm just gonna play this, and then we'll get to some sport.
If you're a single mother with 2 children, which is the toughest job in America as far as I'm concerned, and you're working hard to put food on your family, those who think that they can say we're only going to have a stimulus package, but let's forget tax relief, underestimate. Just making sure you're paying attention. You were. I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
The responses have got to end. in order for us to get the framework, the groundwork, not framework, the groundwork to discuss a framework for peace, to lay the... All right.
All actual clips.
We are not at war with Muslims. We don't have a beef with Muslims. We want to be friends with Muslims and Muslim children. We're fighting evil people. It's important for the boys and girls of Thurgood Marshall to know that we're fighting evil with good. And one way to fight evil with good is you can help by writing letters to boys and girls your age. And so, in my my speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it, speech to the nation. I asked Americans to give 4,000 hours over the next, or the rest of your life.
4,000 years.
Of service to America. That's what I asked. I said, 4,000 hours. There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again. Our enemies are innovative and resourceful. And so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. Parents are teaching their children right from wrong, and the message oftentimes gets undermined by the popular culture. You bet there's things the government can do. We can work with the entertainment industry to provide family hour. We can have filters on internets where public money is spent. I hear there's rumors on the internets that we're going to have a draft. We're not going to have a draft, period. We got an issue in America. Too many good docs are getting out of business. Too many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love with women all across this country. The good news is, and it's hard for some to see it now, that out of this chaos is going to come a fantastic Gulf Coast.
All right, if you are listening to the podcast, just scroll down. There's the whole video. There's like 7 minutes of all of this. But the guy was just...
Yeah, I had forgotten.
We've all forgotten what an absolute train wreck this guy was.
Thank you for the reminder. Because I've been angry with Trump. But now I've remembered what Bush was like.
He was like a really huge running joke.
People in Louisiana must know that all across our country there's a lot of prayer. Prayer for those whose lives have been turned upside down. And I'm one of them.
There's this great clip where he's standing with all these basketball legends. He just drops the ball. It doesn't bounce up, though.
I know.
Because he drops it onto, like... He's just such a joke. Anyways, that's the one thing you need to know this morning, was that George Bush was an absolute train wreck. And but he looked so comical as well. What is with presidents looking comical? Barack Obama was the only guy who didn't look comical. Maybe that was like his biggest appeal. There we found it. That was Barack's biggest thing.
Yeah.
This wasn't a comical looking guy. Anyway, on to your sport. Without any theme tunes music today, we're going to go in dry. Or raw,
nice. No lubrication.
No, straight into the sport. And it is the Mzansi Super League final weekend. This is it. There's two games left. So the top team in the league is the Cape Town Blitz. Mm-hmm. They've got the home final on Sunday. And the Jersey Stars are now today hosting the Paul Rocks.
Very
so unfortunately,
nice.
Leanne, your team didn't make it through to the final.
Yeah, kind of. We came in strong in the beginning.
And I was just
very excited.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So unfortunately, my team will then take on Gareth's team today in the playoff match. Now, if you're in the Joburg vicinity, I suggest getting on down there. I went to go watch the game on Tuesday when the Jersey Stars hammered the Spartans. Rusty van der Dissen was killing it. David Christian was killing it. They scored 239 runs. It was an absolutely showcase of just marvelous hitting. So today at 7 o'clock South African time, you'll be able to get the Jersey Stars versus Paul Rocks. Whoever wins this goes through to Sunday's final at 3:30. Tickets still are available for that big showcase in Newlands. Now, if you're down there in the region, lots of people on holiday, it's going to be fantastic. That game starts at 3:30, so you'll be able to get the late afternoon sun a beautiful sunset on the beautiful mountain, flames, fireworks, and basically the biggest T20 match of the year right here in SA. So that'll be the Blitz. I'm kind of hoping it's versus the Jersey Stars, because I'm a Jersey Stars fan. I'm going to be there on Sunday.
Very nice.
I know. Look, I'm excited. I haven't been excited for local cricket for quite some time. Obviously, you go watch a test match from time to time, but that's just about drinking beer and just being with mates. But to actually go and physically watch a game that's going to have like a big result to it, yeah, there's a huge amount of excitement for this. And I think it'll be a nice sort of end off for this league. It's been a tough first season in some aspects, but a hugely successful season in a lot of other ones, which people sometimes don't want to see. But this league is going places, and the final on Sunday at 3:30 is going to broadcast how great it really is. So that's in Cape Town. Get your tickets.
Very good.
Football, SA looking to host the 2019 AFCON, Leanne. This is the big story. Now, there's been all kinds of, let's just not call it skullduggery or anything like that. Let's just say there's been much confusion around who's hosting AFCON the next few years. Ivory Coast, Cameroon, it's all up in the air, really. A lot of countries aren't ready. Egypt's also saying they're willing to step up. So basically what CAF have done is they said, look, you guys aren't ready, the guys who have been nominated or who have been given the opportunity to host the tournament. So we're going to have an emergency meeting. So on the 9th of January, they're having a meeting, very, very controversial this. They're going to basically say who's going to host 2019 AFCON. But when you think about it, how many countries are ready just to pick this up? Well, pretty much South Africa, this country right here. They can host AFCON tomorrow, and we'll take any foreign interest income business that we can, really. So I'm all for this. It'd be a shame for a country to lose this, because obviously these tournaments mean so much to the host countries, not only for the teams that are playing, but also for the economies and the communities around it that benefit from the influx of people coming for these big events. But also, that means, Leanne, if we host AFCON, we get to play in AFCON.
Of course.
That's why hosting events is really good.
Yeah, but it's a little embarrassing sometimes if you aren't that good yourself and you're just
hate to break it to you, but we'll take what we can get as Bafana Bafana. In other football news for the weekend, there's, here it is. The Premier League. Now, bloody interesting how this has gone as of last week, because Liverpool went to the top because they're still unbeaten. Chelsea beat Man City. So Liverpool are now on top. Man City have lost their unbeaten record. But they're the first match out on Saturday. They're playing Everton at 2:30. And I'm going to say right away, there's going to be at least 4 goals in this one. Because that's what Man City do. If they ever have a bit of a blip, they come back firing. So Everton are going to get absolutely hammered, I reckon, this time around. Another match to look out for, Crystal Palace will be taking on Leicester at 5. Same time, Spurs will be taking on Burnley. And then Sunday, the bigger game, Southampton are hosting Arsenal at 3:30. Brighton are taking on Chelsea at the same time. And then Liverpool versus Man United, Sunday at 6. What a game this is going to be. Liverpool now are like a big team. Man United now are like Liverpool used to be. It's kind of like this, they swap roles here.
Mm.
And it'll be at Anfield, though, so this is going to be a huge one. It really will be.
Imagine being there.
Oh, this time of year, it's cold. Everyone's already got their holiday puzzles on. It's going to be a magical experience, this. Because the thing about Liverpool is that they've been good. They've had flashes of brilliance. They've had good runs. But these are the games that they really have to win to be like real champions, of course. So that's the big one there. Sunday at 6. Raw. Not that. We've done that one. So, are you okay? Are you back with this?
Yes,
okay, very good. Just checking. You know, people want to know. You just suddenly left. Ibn Etzebeth is going to leave the Stormers after the Rugby World Cup 2019. So, spoiler alert, anybody who's already had a bit of a run here in SA Rugby, after the World Cup, they're probably going to go get European money. Simple as that. That's what happens in this world. Etzebeth has already got 75 Springbok caps, though, huh? It's crazy to think, and he's only like mid-20s. So, 75 Springbok caps, of course, hopefully, fitness pending, he'll play all of next year as well, and hopefully he'll pick up the World Cup trophy with the Box in Japan. So yeah, he's currently 26, and he would earn about 17 million rand a year by going to Toulon, which is more than he's currently in, of course.
1.7.
Yeah.
That's a cool one point something a
month. It's your future. So, you know, Ivan's putting his body on the line now.
Jeez.
I just want it once off, not even a year. Just once off.
Yeah, just once off, by mistake. I got to interview him last year, and he said, you know, you get so sore in rugby, you really do, and every single Monday morning of your life, you're picking yourself up again. Now, this is a big, strong, tough guy, right? And on that Monday, he's like, getting out of bed is just so hard, and he's saying this in his mid-20s. So if he gets the chance to go and obviously play rugby and get 17 million rand a year, and if he gets, say, 3 years out of that,
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about it like that. I remember at school dating a first team rugby player.
Yeah.
And how after a game he would just kind of soak in the bath, soak the mud away and find all the injuries and just lie there and wait for them to surface. Because your body just goes through.
Rugby's tough as hell like that. It really is.
Tumble dryer.
And the thing is, like, you know you've got this sort of limited time period, and you know you can always just you give it whatever you can because you can't have a bad day. But yeah, I mean, that's, imagine that every single Monday morning. We hate Mondays. Well, Leanne doesn't, but
Leanne loves Mondays.
It's almost Monday, guys.
There we go.
It's like when we wake up in the morning, like, oh, but at least we get up. At least our bodies are together. It's like, yeah, but in the rest of them wake up, he doesn't know if you can stand because he's in so much pain. And then you work through your training week, and then you basically get lifted by the crowd on Saturday, which makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah.
So there's only, so many years. For the love of rugby, for the love of everything, there's only so many years you can really do that. So Evan's plan looks to be set in stone for, after Toulon. So I wish him all the best for that. Currently in the crickets, Australia are taking on India. Of course, India won the first test. Well, they should have. Well, obviously, they should have. And this Australian team is pretty average right now. They're currently 66-0 after 26 overs. They made a good start in Perth. Of course, Perth is the hard and fast wicket, as Tony would have said. Sadly, he's no longer with us. But if you just look at this Aussie batting lineup, Harris, who is he? Never heard of him. He's doing well, though. He's on 36 currently. Aaron Finch, he's a one-day player. He's on 28. Then you've got Khawaja, Marsh, Hanscom, Head Payne.
Oh.
I'm not going without being a world-class batting lineup. So I would still say India kind of, I don't know, look. It all comes down to if the pitch at Perth is going to do what it has done historically. You've got to give the Aussies maybe a bit of an edge here because they do have Hazelwood, Cummins and Stark with two R's and three A's. So you might give them the edge there. Of course, just home ground experience. So this is setting up to be a fantastic test match. Aussies looking to get back to level pegging here. And that'll be on through the whole weekend. Of course, because it's in Australia, it'll be morning viewing for us here in the middle of the world. Anthony Joshua says he is literally gugging for a fight with Deontay Wilder. In April.
No, he's speaking about people who probably have to pick themselves up at the floor on a Monday.
Yeah, well, the thing with the boxers, though, it's head trauma and stuff. You're not getting tackled, your ankles and knees and that kind of stuff. It's not so bad. But, you know, at least you know where your blows are coming from. But Anthony Joshua versus Deontay Wilder would be the biggest fight of 2019 if it was to happen. I know Saul Alvarez is looking to go up a weight division to try and show how incredible he is, but we prefer the heavyweights. It's like in athletics. You can go on as much as you want about the 1,500-meter mm-hmm. specialist.
Everyone wants the 100.
Everybody wants the swinging dicks of the 100-meter sprinters.
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively, that's what they want, Liam. So look out for that one. This is a very interesting story. So you know when Serena Williams went and had a child? You might have heard about this. She was, I think, the only person that had a child last year, according to some press. And she came back, and suddenly her ranking was all over the place. She wasn't seeded, then she was seeded, and it was like, well, what's happening here? Serena hasn't played tennis in over a year, and now suddenly she's seeded. And people were like, there was a lot of shit around this. I mean, Serena's obviously no stranger to people hurling shit at her. But now the WTA Tour has confirmed that mothers returning to tennis after giving birth to a child will have more protection around their rankings.
Mm, that's interesting.
Oh, look, if you've... Put it this way. This is my theory. Use it, don't use it. If you're a great tennis player and you want to go a kid, mm-hmm. and you want to still be a great tennis player after that, then I think you're entitled to your rankings because you have to work extra hard. And everyone knows this. Mm. So it's not like they're coming back because, well, let's just make a little bit of money and see how it goes. That decision to come back after being a mother to play tennis is a tough one, but also shows a hell of a dedication. So I think that they deserve it.
Yeah. Mm.
But what do you mean they're entitled to their ranking when things happen while they're away?
True, yeah, true. But it's like a medical, what do you call this, exemption. Put this way, if you're the 50th best player in the world before you're pregnant, you should be entitled to be thought that when you get back that you should win that level again. Even if they have no rankings, then it's tough against tournaments. You're just so mean, Sia.
No, I agree.
That's the meanest I've ever heard you be.
You're just mean.
But I don't think that's mean. And here's my thing. I love Serena and she's amazing, but life happens. And things happen while you're away. So if you're away, and granted whether it's for a day and you miss out on a certain tournament, or, you know, you're away for 12 months and you were pregnant for 9 and you gave birth and you were away for 3 months. There are tournaments happening. There are still rankings to be made. Other people are taking your position. It's just part and parcel of being an athlete and the sacrifices that you have to make, unfortunately.
Well, I think so, it's a good thing because we need to encourage people like Serena to breed. Because she'll probably bring out good stock, man.
Amazing, but while you're away, things happen and you aren't world's number one anymore.
Well, there you go, woman tennis player. Don't you dare have a child. How very dare you think you have this ability. Sia Sangweni has spoken. You stand on that tennis court in the sun and you keep hitting those balls. Don't you dare try reproduce.
While you're breastfeeding.
Well, I can explain in a different way. 2 second story. The Voice is the show on US television and The Voice currently had a contestant who had a throat infection.
Yeah.
Exactly. And they stayed in the competition. Excuse me, the premise of the competition
is I'm sorry, this is the bloody Voice we're talking about here where nobody matters whatsoever.
How's it all? It's
nobody
the same.
Matters in The
you
Voice.
You are in the
every
tournament
single,
of singing and
every
you aren't
single
able to.
Every single year they get some other schmaltzy people coming out thinking this is going to be the big break. Mm. Tennis is like a lifelong dedication to a craft and a sport with an actual fan base that's loyal, not just some people having nachos on their couch and going, oh, that guy can sing.
Okay.
As you can see, I don't have any,
yeah,
any real opinions
we got
about
that.
This. And then finally, on the leaderboard of the Alfred Daniel Championships at Leopard Creek. Leopard Creek has been redone. It looks better than ever. Wow, this is an incredible golf tournament. Currently, the South African Oliver Becker is in top of the leaderboard there. He is followed by Dimitris Papadatos. And he's
Chinese.
Becker is -6.
Papa who?
And Papadatos is -5. And okay. Well, it's a star-studded field. A whole bunch of South African golfers in there. And Brandon Stone is looking to defend his title there. It wasn't played last year because they're redoing the golf course, and it is so worth it. These bunkers look like absolute heaven, and the sloping. I can't wait to watch the first round highlights, let alone get to the second round of live action. This is how excited I am about it.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah.
Papadatos.
Guys, it's one of the best golf courses in the world on the Kruger National Park, on the Crocodile River. You can't, like, even if you, it doesn't get better than this. Simple. You get to see hippos and elephants and crocodiles and birds and all kinds of stuff and golf.
I think it's awesome.
That's my weekend viewing, like, right there. That's it for the sports. That's it for the... Is it the last? Am I here again? Is it? No.
You are here next week.
Next week Wednesday is my next week Wednesday is my final show, and it'll be the last sports thing. I'm not going to do a sports report. I'm going to do just like a little 10 minutes or 8 minutes, probably a 7 minutes yearly wrap up next Wednesday.
Oh,
so okay. If you're around for that, then so will I. Only if you're around, though. If I get here and I know you're not listening, that's great.
No,
amazing.
Then you're going home.
Just going to go home.
Can there be a compilation of all of your favorites and hardest sports names to pronounce?
Yeah, sure.
Papadatos.
Papadatos is doable this time of year.
Some of the others were a lot to deal with this year.
Yeah,
in
there
your
were.
Reports.
No, there were a couple of tough ones, but this is how we get through it. Life, hey, Sia.
Mm-hmm.
Over to Said by Sia right now.
Yeah.
To wrap up the first hour. Thank you for being with us today. Gareth is not here, but we shall soldier on. We've got an action-packed second hour ahead. But first, this is Sia with a phone that does have battery now.
Ben, I'm well equipped.
And a pink cover?
Yes.
And also with that color. Anyway, you are a mess today.
Well equipped, and I make things happen. So for Said by Sia this morning, this is what I absolutely love. A few days ago, I was chatting about a shoeshiner at a children's hospital who was working there for over 30 years, and he passed away, and he donated all of his tips from his shoeshining career to the children's hospital. Well, we got into a conversation of how thinking about this time of year particularly and people who are in hospital and what they have to go through and what they have to endure, and you know, we talk about it's the most wonderful time of the year, but imagine if you are struggling with an illness or you are hospitalized and how horrible that might be for you. Well, someone is doing such great work in the United States with an organization called Care Connect, because they have wrangled up a bunch of volunteers who dress up as Santa, and they are able to now face time with children who are stuck in hospitals. So imagine how you are lying in your hospital bed, you aren't allowed to move much, and though you have that horrible television screen,
it's so
in the
far
ceiling,
away and it's so small and right? It's such a bad angle and you can't hear it,
and it's only stuck on like
it's
three different
channels, yeah.
And you now have to watch like Days of Our Lives on repeat the entire day. Well, an organization called Care Connect is allowing hospitalized children to have face-to-face conversations with what they're now dubbing as Santa, who will speak to them from the North Pole, they say.
Very nice.
I think this is so awesome. So they've started like piloting it from Orlando in Florida, and they say children at Numa's Hospital will be able to share their Christmas wishes and interact with Santa's elves, and able to speak to Santa around managing what they want for Christmas, etc., etc. So I really think this is so, so awesome. It seems so corny, it seems so schmaltzy for all of us, but for, you know, a 5-year-old sitting in hospital right now, they love the idea of Christmas, but they aren't able to do anything about it. I think this matters a lot to them.
Cute.
So for Care Center, one of the people who spoke out was saying that being hospitalized at this time of the year can leave kids feeling left out of the holiday season. So now Santa's virtual visits from the North Pole offers these kids a fun and very special experience. And judging from the reactions thus far, the kids are really appreciating this initiative. One of the kids in the hospital said, "I wasn't expecting this visit at all. It's so nice to get a little surprise from Santa, and when he comes, even though we're a little down, we can get lifted up by his visits and his spirits, and that's just awesome." So I really think this is so, so cool. It doesn't take a lot for whoever is volunteering to be part of Care Connect, this organization, dressing up as Santa, but it's about being able to virtually be there, and I think that really makes the good type of difference.
Very, very good.
Yes.
But that's what I love about Christmas. I think people can take the politics, the religion, all that kind of stuff away. It gives people a chance to be nicer.
Exactly.
Simple as that. Like, I don't care what you think of Santa, if he's real, if he's not. Obviously, he's not real. Sorry. No, he is real.
Oh.
No.
No, wait, he's not. No.
Oh. Thanks for ruining my dreams, Ben.
But the whole story and of giving and being nicer, it makes us realize we can all do it.
Yeah. Mm. It just brings, this time of the year, as schmaltzy as it is, I love the fact that it brings out the best of people. Apart from anyone who has road rage and is stuck on the N1
or
driving.
Or steal your parking when you're at the mall. And that's the one year that did happen. This old couple took my mom's parking. And my mom got out the car, knocked on their window, and screamed at them and said, "It's people like you who make Christmas unbearable."
But
so there are some people who take advantage.
But other than that, it's a wonderful time of the year.
The most fabulous time of the year.
And we all have the ability to be nice. That's another thing that Christmas does to kind of teach us. So that is it for your first hour. Gareth will be back on Monday.
Correct. I believe so, yeah.
Correct, guys. And so will Leanne.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Monday's a holiday.
Where are you?
Tuesday. Gareth and Leanne and Sia will be back. I'll be back on then Wednesday. And Gord will be here on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Been getting a lot of feedback from this Wednesday's podcast. If you are looking for a bit of a laugh because it's the most wonderful time of the year, go to Wednesday's podcast part 2. Leanne, you must listen to it.
There's
quite a lot went on there. From Wham to the most scary animal you've ever maybe conceived in your own mind, to why Michael learned to rock has a shit lyrics. Because Michael didn't learn English either.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Michael learned to rock before he learned to English.
Oh, dear.
And that's why the songs are so simplistic. So that was a very interesting podcast, isn't it? But yeah, let's go on with one of the people that did die this year. Maybe we should have a playlist just of people who died this year.
Yes.
So yeah, it's what people search on Google.
Yeah.
It's not me making
it.
I'm not making trends
world
here.
World trend.
I'm a topical kind of guy. This is Mac Miller, my favorite rapper, always and forever. He's no longer with us, though, as you might have seen on Google. That looks so sad, yeah. No one ever really dies. That's what Pharrell said.
This is CliffCentral.com.